Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. That toll-free number, as always, 844-322-2742, and it's available 24 hours a day if you're not hearing the live broadcast. But again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Yesterday we started with a passage out of Galatians 1, and I want to read that to you, at least part of it. I am so astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And Paul goes on to talk about, you know, letting people who preach this stuff be eternally condemned.
Yes.
The word is anathema. it's a bad word. It really is. Yeah. I want to talk a little personally today about this, and I've titled this, When a Gospel Isn't the Gospel, and in other words, Why Apologetics Matters in the Church. I believed the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, according to 1 Corinthians 15, right there at the beginning of that chapter. However, I also believed that Jesus' death was a partial, limited victory over sin. I believed that his victory would not be complete until the very end of time. I believe Jesus' victory would be complete when two things happened. First, God would pile all of the whole world's sin on Satan so he could bear his full responsibility. And second, my ability to live a sinless life would validate Jesus' claims regarding my justification and sanctification, and thus validate God's putting sin on Satan. As a result of this belief regarding sin, I also believe that Jesus' resurrection was a partial, limited victory over death. He was victorious over his own death because he lived a perfect life. In order for me to experience Jesus' victory over death, I needed to follow his example by living a perfect life. His victory would be granted to me at the very end of time. If you sense that there is a death spiral starting to occur, you're not too far off. Therefore, these two beliefs regarding Jesus' death and resurrection required constant repentance, confession, and asking for forgiveness. In addition, they required that I never claim to be securely his to have eternal life. Everything was provisional. In addition, I believed I was under law. I believed that grace was merely the unmerited favor of God, that sanctification was the work of a lifetime, that the Holy Spirit existed solely to help me keep the law, and that my church was the only true church. That I taught this to other people made me one of those declared anathema by Paul in Galatians 1.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but it's true. So why was this? Well, it turns out that the gospel I believed was no gospel at all. It denigrated Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It made his ascension and the resulting gift of the Holy Spirit a non-event. It kept me focused on me. My success was based on my own ability to live as I was supposed to live. It judged everyone else as unworthy. This is why, here at Basic Gospel, we proclaim the purity of the gospel and nothing else. The gospel is the very power of God, unleashed in and through us, his children. The gospel is Jesus from start to finish. Add or subtract anything from this gospel, and you will destroy everything.
Yeah.
This is why you must know what you believe based on the Spirit revealing the Bible's meaning to you. Your beliefs cannot, must not, be based on my or Bob Christopher's or Bob Davis's or anyone else's explanations. Apologetics matters, and it matters more in the church than outside the church. Because outside the church, you've got people who are either seeking Jesus or hate Jesus. It's very easy to tell who's who.
Sure.
Inside the church, you can't tell.
Yeah.
Just like the writers in the New Testament, all these letters written to people, some of whom were saved, some of whom were not. And you had to wear the shoe if the shoe fit, which is why it's so dangerous to go through any of the letters and say, well, clearly this was written to the saved people. It's written to the church. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay. apologetics, this ability to explain why you believe what you believe, is more important in the church than it is in the world, because people come into the church and bring the garbage with them.
Yeah.
All of us do that. I did it. I was, even though I was born into the church, I still brought garbage with me. I believed some garbage. Therefore, I had piles of garbage for the Spirit to deal with. The gospel is powerful enough to deal with all that garbage. It's powerful enough to renew your mind and give you straight answers and clear thinking. Mm-hmm. It matters.
Yeah.
It really does matter.
Well, as you were immersed in this staunch legalism, what was the first chink in the armor, so to speak, when you began to realize that this is not right, that there is something far, far better?
Well, there were two items. The first was probably personal. It was personal. In my heart of hearts, I knew I wasn't measuring up. I couldn't admit that to anyone except to me, but I knew I was doomed. Mm-hmm. The second thing that happened, and this is what really served as the catalyst to get me to start thinking differently, is that the person I probably most admired in the whole world in terms of a source of my beliefs was demonstrated to have copied most of everything she ever wrote.
Yeah.
And when something like that happens, you have to stop and say, what is it that I've been believing? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I was married at the time. Thankfully, my wife and I went through this together, and instead of growing apart, we grew together.
That's great, yeah.
And even though we came at this completely differently, we think differently on everything, but the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, we got through it. It took years and years and years and years and years. And I was so impatient with myself, but God knew what he was doing. I mean, he had to take it slow because I fought tooth and nail every single time. And you know, once you've read the Bible enough and you discover that things you thought you believed aren't there or are not there the way you thought they were, and other things are there that you didn't know about, where did that verse come from?
Right.
You know, we've all had that experience. So it doesn't matter what legalistic church you were raised in. Every one of us, it's not the church that's legalistic, it's us that are legalistic. We bring the legalism to the church. And so we have to go through this stuff and come to some conclusions regarding who Jesus is, if he is who he claimed to be, if what he said he did was really what he did, and now what does that mean for me? And if you are honest and let the Spirit do his work, he will lay you out flat on the floor and then pick you up and say, welcome home.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scripture, Romans 8:28 says that we know that God works all things together for good those
does.
That love him and are called according to his purpose. I see all of this journey that you took through legalism to be a Romans 8:28 experience, because now you are able to see the truth of God's word through the new covenant, through the eyes of the new covenant, and you have been able to share here at Basic Gospel with no telling how many thousands of people who are going through the same thing. So we are privileged to have you on the staff, and many, many of our listeners are privileged to have heard your witness and your testimony, Richard. So it's a marvelous thing that God has done in your life and in the life of your wife, Lois, as well.
Yeah. So thank you.
All right. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to receiving your calls. If you have a question, again, we've been talking about this issue of skepticism through the month, and the Cold Case Christianity book that was written by Jim Wallace continues to be available to those of you who would like to help support this ministry called Basic Gospel. As Richard said one day last week, when you give, you're not giving to Basic Gospel, you're giving through Basic Gospel, because every dollar that comes into the ministry goes out in ministry, and we encourage you to be a part of that. Every time you make a gift to Basic Gospel, there's a real probability that it's going to impact someone's life in some way. And so that's the reason that we're on the air, to address your needs and to be available to you. You've heard the question that some have. One listener, as I said earlier, kind of put it like this a long time ago. He said he'd been beaten up and knocked down and all but dragged out by things he'd heard from the pulpit, other people are experiencing all the troubles of life. There are physical illnesses. There's just a myriad of things that come against us every day that cause us to stumble and fall. But Basic Gospel has the answer, and we want to continue to proclaim the answer, and His name is Jesus Christ. So if you can help us with a gift, we would love for you to join us with us as a partner. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift, and at the same time, request your copy of Jim Wallace's book, excellent book, Cold Case Christianity. It's available to you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, let's see what's on the minds of our listeners. This is a question from Greg about backsliding. He says, what about those who get saved and then end up backsliding and sin willfully? Then what happens? He says, I'm just curious.
Well, if you want my answer from the bad old days, tough luck.
Yeah.
If you want a new covenant answer, one of two things has occurred. Either the person wasn't really saved, that is, they didn't really accept Jesus in his entirety. A lot of people accept salvation because, oh, I need my sins forgiven, and yeah, now I'm saved. There's a lot more to it than that. It's forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's why you need the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So either they weren't saved completely in the first place, or they were saved, and yet there was some of this teaching that I was talking about earlier that was in their heads, wherever it came from themselves, from the church they were attending, from friends, who knows,
yeah,
the radio, the TV. When your brain is dealing with things that don't make sense, their tendency is to throw everything out, right? You hear this a lot of times from kids who are having trouble with math. I hate math. I'll never understand why math is important. Well, they're using math every day. They just don't realize it.
Sure.
And so Paul's recommendation in Galatians 6, I think, applies in this situation. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, if they have backslidden, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to the person with the assumption that A, he or she is lost, or B, he or she is just confused. You go on the basis of what you've seen.
Yeah.
That's all we have. Now, we don't have perfect perception, so we have to rely on the Spirit. So you go and you ask questions. What's going on? How'd you get into this mess? Sometimes you'll discover that indeed they were lost, and now it's your privilege to bring them to Jesus to understand truly what forgiveness is and what eternal life is, and to start from there. Other times you can help strip away the garbage. Oh, man, I know I blew it, but now I can't come back. No, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
You never left. If you're saved, the most heinous crime you ever committed does not separate you from Jesus. It may separate you from your family, from society. It may cost you your life, but it never separates you from Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the power of the gospel. And so deal with it straight up, but very carefully, because what we're doing is carrying each other's burdens in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for your burdens, but I can help you carry them, because
right,
I can take you to Jesus, who does carry them for yeah, you. And we can test our own motives, our own actions. You know, why am I so worried about that person? Am I just being judgmental? Are they doing something that I know is a weakness of my own? Well, let's both learn from this
yeah,
then. So it's always about relationship, about making sure someone has a relationship with Jesus first and foremost, and secondly, to restore relationship within the body of Christ.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate your question. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Or you can phone your question anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Again, that number is available right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, I discovered something the other day that kind of surprised me, and for Christmas, I gave myself one of the Amazon Echo Dots.
Okay.
And the other day, it occurred to me, I wonder, you know, she knows so much about music. She knows just practically every tune that was ever been created, I think. Millions of tunes that you can just say, hey, Alexa, play whatever. Well, I said, I wonder if she knows anything about Basic Gospel. So I said, Alexa, please play the latest edition of Basic Gospel Radio. And guess what happened? She played it.
Oh, my.
Just like that.
There you
go. Could not believe it. So, you know, God just opens up so many venues for us to share the gospel, and that's just one more that I accidentally discovered on my Amazon Echo Dot. Well, a question from Samuel. Well, actually, we have a call from Charles in Columbus, Ohio. Let's go there now and talk to Charles. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
I was going to give you a question and listen to your comments off the air. I had a question about 1 Corinthians 3, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And there was one of the pastors on the radio this morning talking about, you know, about our rewards in heaven. And the way you guys explain it, though, makes sense, but I just could use a little bit more explaining on these two verses here, if you could.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll just listen to you on my internet.
Okay. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, Charles. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Let me go back to actually verse 10. I want to read this whole section. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to life. The day he's talking about is the day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. And quite often this passage is used to describe all of us and how well we behave. And if we behave well enough, we'll have great reward in heaven. And if we don't behave well enough, well, we'll get in by the skin of our teeth and probably have to kind of sit outside the New Jerusalem out on the grass or something, can't quite come in, or you have a smaller house. Don't let yourself go there, because that's a behavioral view of something that is not a behavioral issue. The issue is, are you a child of the living God or not? Do you belong to Jesus Christ or not? If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are saved, period, end of story. Right. You will be in heaven with Jesus when everything comes back at the very end and the earth is recreated and God's dwelling is with humanity again. You will be part of that.
Yeah.
That is salvation. Well, what kind of reward are we talking about? Well, notice that the builder here in this paragraph is the one who's building on the foundation that Paul laid. So it could have been Apollos. It could have been Peter. Mm-hmm. It could have been me. Could have been Bob Christopher. It could be any pastor you know, any so-called lay person you know. By definition, children of God are all ministers. So we all get to build on this foundation. If we build wisely with gold and silver, that is, we're building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with the things of Jesus Christ, then our reward is seeing the results of that building. Notice it's not a literal building. It is the body of Christ, the church. More and more people coming to know who Jesus Christ is. What a reward that is. And to have someone perhaps come up to you after the end of time, and they come walking up and say, Bob, thank you. And you're going to go, well, for what?
For what? Exactly. Yeah.
And they'll say, well, there was this time back whenever, and you said something, and it got through to me. You may or may not remember saying it. But what a reward, because you faithfully, properly kept their eyes on Jesus rather than on you or me or anyone else.
Right.
So that's the kind of reward we're talking about. Getting in as one escaping through the flames is the kind of thing that as a teacher you have to be careful of. I mean, Paul talks later in 1 Corinthians about making sure that he doesn't lose his place. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about losing his salvation. He's talking about making his ministry of no effect because he gives into the flesh all the time or runs off and teaches a gospel that's not a gospel. In the case of Galatians, the people who were teaching these gospels were not saved. They were trying to keep other people from being saved. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
But as a teacher, you can confuse people. And we have to be careful as teachers to speak as plainly and directly as possible. This has not always been an easy thing for me. I figured, you know, if one word is good, 53 words is probably better. I've had to learn to stop that. Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. Stay focused on him, and you won't have to worry about what kind of reward or whether you just barely got in by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
Whoever gets in is in, period, end of story, because Jesus is sufficient.
Absolutely. Great. Well, Charles, hope that's a help to you, and I hope you will keep listening and call again if we can help further. Richard, a question from Louisa, who writes to us from Long Beach, New York, says, can a believer be filled with the Spirit without speaking in tongues? And since the Bible refers to being sealed by the Spirit, is speaking in tongues proof that one is sealed?
Don't get me started on this. This is one of my hobby horses. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll read a question. It's a rhetorical question that Paul asks. Now, you are the body of Christ. This is beginning in 27. And each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? And the answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Let me ask that again. Do all speak in tongues? No.
No.
Do all interpret? No. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he goes into chapter 13, sure, the love chapter.
Yeah.
Anybody who comes to you and says you must speak in tongues as proof of your salvation is every bit as guilty of teaching no gospel at all as I was when I tried to put people under the Ten Commandments and say, if you don't keep the seventh-day Sabbath, you're lost.
Yeah.
Don't go there. These are the Spirit's gifts. They're not my gifts. If God needs someone to hear what I'm saying in a language that I wouldn't normally speak, they're going to hear it in that language. I'm still speaking. As far as they're concerned, I'm speaking their language, just like what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
If I need to hear someone who's not speaking my language, he's going to make sure I can understand that language. So there we have tongues and interpretation going both directions.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about the so-called prayer language and that sort of thing. Keep that completely separate from this conversation. That is something that is intensely personal between you and God alone. This is public. What constitutes salvation? One thing constitutes salvation: the acceptance of Jesus as your Savior.
Yeah.
His life, his death, his resurrection, the resulting ascension, and then he gives us his Holy Spirit, restoring us to life everlasting spiritually, and then working that out through us miraculously through our minds, emotions, and will, and then through our actual hands and feet and eyes and ears and our whole bodies. What a privilege.
Yeah.
What a glorious, amazing power that God has, and he's willing to share that with us. He invites us to play in his sandbox. He invites us to do his work in his way, in his time, whenever we're available to him to do so.
Yeah.
That's salvation.
Yeah.
Ignore everything else. Keep your eyes on Jesus and move forward.
Louise, I hope that helps. That's a wonderful answer, Richard. Thank you. I want to remind the listeners that, just a little over a week ago, we had Los Angeles County Detective Jim Wallace on the program with us. It was a very interesting discussion of his book, Cold Case Christianity, and the results of his findings when considering from a professional police officer investigator's viewpoint the evidence and the eyewitnesses behind Christian claims. In the book, Jim Wallace approaches Christianity from the perspective of a cold case, because the New Testament makes claims about an event from the distant past for which there's little forensic evidence. Cold Case Christianity inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case for Christianity. As our thanks for your gift this month to Basic Gospel, we want you to have a copy of Cold Case Christianity. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and for the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.